Wonderful way to start our service. What a beautiful, beautiful song that they played for us. We are so glad that you're with us this morning. And I want you to take just a moment to greet each other. You haven't seen each other probably in a whole week. So let's shake hands with each other this morning. You could see this site from up here. This is fun to watch you all greet each other in the morning. We do welcome you at our church this morning. It's a cold one outside, but we feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit in with us this morning. And we are so glad that you're here. I know that we have some announcements, if there are any at this time. Maybe there aren't any announcements. Now that's unusual, isn't it?
I don't think there's any session leaves tonight. Session meets tonight at 4 o'clock. We'll go to supper with the retiring elders and the incoming that we will install, ordain one and install all three at the 10:15 service. You won't miss much except the actual act of installation this morning, because we're going to preach about church leaders and church people. So, and kind of lead you through the process of ordination as outlined. Yeah, somebody, 4 o'clock, meet here. Meet here at 4 o'clock. One, two, elder, three, 4 o'clock. And we're going to eat, we think it's 4:30. We hope to meet by 4:30. Okay. We're going to eat 5 o'clock. John Dickens.
Listen
to that. You listen to that. We did have a nice service, and the support was there. Good friends and family. Welcome back.
Yeah. Any prayer requests or praise reports this morning?
Yeah, I have a number of them. Carol Sneed, Mandy, Daniel, D-I-N-E-L-L. I have known her by this new name. She's out Arkansas or Missouri One. Then Joe Bailey is Ted Hatfield's uncle. Joe Bailey and Ted Hatfield's uncle. Nikki Fielder is Pound Caboose's cousin. And then many of you, all of you who went to Nova Elementary, probably know Trudy York. Her father passed away. The memorial service will be Tuesday here at the Nolensville Cemetery. The visitation, I'm not sure of the time, will be at Hickory Chapel, but a short visitation sometime Tuesday. His name is Andrew, are you ready for it? Thank you.
anything else? Anything else? Well, we have a great big God that we can take all of these praises to and all of our requests to, because He's concerned about every one of them. We want to pause for a moment of silent prayer and light the candles.
We have one first time visitor.
Great. We're glad you're with us. Is there anyone else? This is your first time.
Yeah, first time visitors here, Pat Robertson, her granddaughter.
Wonderful.
She was here, Pat. Well,
that was my fault. I didn't even ask that this morning. Forgive me. We are so glad that you're with us. Let's go to the Lord in silence and prayer, asking Him to bless our service as we light our candles this morning. Call to worship is responsive, and it is found in your bulletin. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to Him." Tell the glad news of salvation from day to day. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name.
Revive us again.
Revive us again. Fill your heart with my
remember that time, that experience when you first trusted the Lord as your Savior and you felt that your life was, yes, just floating up. You're on your way to heaven. Sins forgiven. Trusting in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that experience. Yep. Release, redemption, forgiveness, and that assurance. Lord, we come today, the second Sunday of 08. Lord, we pray that we could know your Spirit in that way, as we did at our conversion. We pray that we could know it again today. Let our hearts be tuned to you, O God. Our thoughts be on you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us. And thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us to fend for ourselves, but that you're with us every day, promising never to leave us, to help us to live to your honor and to your glory. Lord, we pray for this service. We pray for our lives as we go out into the world. So prepare us in this hour that we might be better equipped, not only to be revived ourselves, but to be agents that would help others come to know you and experience a salvation experience, a salvation relationship. Thank you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and put what we believe into words through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mary Sue. Several Sundays ago, when I was trying to get Larry to help me remember, and both of our memories aren't worth a hoot, but I'm thinking it was around Thanksgiving, he asked for people from the congregation to just, I think, say what you're thankful for. And I remember that Pam, I've meant to call you and tell you thank you for what you said. But I remember she spoke up and she said, I'm so thankful that I don't have to be good enough. Now that's probably maybe some of you didn't even think that, but for someone who was raised that you have to be good enough, because if you sin, then you're not really a Christian. That was just like balm to my soul, that I don't have to be good enough, because it's the finished work of Christ on the cross that makes me the Christian, not what I do. And so I appreciate it. And I'm thankful that we have an opportunity corporately every Sunday to come to the Lord and to confess our sins, because until we get glorified bodies, we're going to sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, and it's so wonderful that we can come to Him. Our call to confession is not the New International Version, I don't think, because there's lots of these and thous, so help me out here. It's Acts 8:21-23. The Apostle Peter said to Simon, who tried to buy the power to impart the Holy Spirit, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Let us confess and repent our sins. Our prayer of confession is in unison. Merciful God, you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism, so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace. Our assurance of forgiveness is 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake.
Yes. Vile sinners as we might be, Jesus loved even me. Let's sing the first and last. I am so glad that our Father in death, now of His love in the book He has did. Wonderful things in my heart I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me like me.
I don't see very many smiles on there, and I'm really glad that Jesus loves me. Now, if you're not, you keep on frowning. But if you're glad that Jesus loves you, you better smile this time. I'm not the one pointing the finger, okay? Last verse.
Oh, if there was a song I can sing, when in His glory I sing a great King, this shall my song turn to be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me.
Thanksgiving thing. I probably did not speak out. I get to say enough up here. I sort of got too captive when I'm up here. Larry and I and Peggy or whoever the worship leader is. So we can speak up here. But I can tell you that this song has become so dear to me over the years. A very good friend of mine passed away years and years ago, Cecil Husky.
sang this at the Tuscan church, and it just exemplifies our life. The longer we serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, no longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. More than I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every day, my need He is supplying. Plenteous grace He bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
Our offertory sentence this morning is from 2 Corinthians. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Will some ushers come forward?
Join us for prayer. Lord, help us to understand Your Word. Lord, help us not to give so that we will be given back to You. But Lord, we've seen it happen so often. That the more we offer to Your kingdom, the more You bless us. We just thank You for that. Lord, we come today giving out of obedience, trying to be faithful to Your calling, knowing the importance of it and of Your Word. And we give to help sustain the ministry in this place, but share it around the world. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
what you have required. You search much deeper within, for the way things appear. You looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the pain I've made it, when it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
Coming. Jeff, right in front of you, there's some handouts, and we've made on purpose these to be handouts. If about three people would assist Jeff in giving out the handout. And I need one also. Also, the little handout we did last week, there are copies of it on the table right as you go out the left door, as you're going out the left door. And we'll be thinking about that, hopefully, but we'll be talking about that more next week. We're glad to see the Spicers back with us for a short while too today. Okay.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians 2 verses 19 through 20. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on a foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Our second scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, 18 through 20, 22 and 28. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. A third scripture comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
In the Ephesian passage, I would like for us to also read here verse 21 through, I believe it's verse 21 through and 22. In him, and this is speaking of Jesus, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Elders. We won't talk about elders this morning, but we won't talk about the church. We don't talk about the parts of the church. And I want to ask you a question. What if you had the privilege of putting together a body? What if you had the pleasure or the duty or the responsibility of making a human body? What would it look like? I've stood behind or sat behind people with short hair, men, most of the time, I guess always, and looked at their ears from the back. I'm not sure I would have put ears like they are. Now, where would I put them? I don't know. But what if you had the privilege of making a body, taking the various parts and putting it together? What would it look like? Another plastic surgeon, they're doing a lot, but they haven't moved many parts of the body. I'd like for you to hold in your hand the part about the elders and kind of keep that in mind. We'll just think about church leaders and followers. And as we look at the human body, we see that there are parts of the body that seem to be leaders, and there are other parts that seem to be followers. This is just an illustration that the Apostle Paul used. In Ephesians, let's talk more about Corinthians first. Basically, your outline is my sermon. It's more than an outline. I couldn't put this in an outline form to my satisfaction. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul writes about the body, the human body. And every one of us can relate to this illustration because every one of us knows something about the human body because every one of us has one, or we are one. Now, if I start talking about how sheep live, I have a little trouble understanding it, or how ducks fly through the sky. We use those illustrations too, but then sometimes they're a little far-fetched. In Paul's day, the sower would know all about sowing, or many of the listeners would. Jesus could talk about sowing seed and stony ground and rocky ground, and they may know a little bit more about, the people who were listening may know a little bit more about seeds growing in stony ground and fertile ground than a city-raised person would, or sheep raising, or cattle raising. But we all can identify with the body, can we not? We can understand what he's talking about. This is not a far-fetched illustration that we would not have one iota of understanding about. So this body was something the listeners could relate to and we can relate to. And he discusses in this illustration how the parts of the human body all have a place in the body and how they work together so that the body functions as it was created to function. Now, with the outward parts of the body, I'm getting to that point in life when all of the parts don't function like they were intended. I'm learning going down steps or stairs is more difficult than going upstairs. Because there's some part of that knee that doesn't work just right. Every once in a while, this thumb will cease to act and function as it ought to. This finger right here, I fell one day. After the storm, I was trying to move some brush. It was okay where it was, but I thought I needed to move it. I picked it up and I moved it and I fell and I put my hand out and this joint, the finger went, I think, this way. It was, wow, that gets you, doesn't it? It got me. I jumped up and I popped it back in place, and it went back in place almost. But that finger doesn't function. I've been talking to Michael about playing the banjo, and he is diligent in his practice. But Michael's problem is, after his wreck, hold up your hands, Michael, the one that you do the cording with, the left one. Those fingers won't get to the keys like you want them to. Is that right? Doesn't function just like it was created to. Well, I have the same problem, but I'm not trying to play the banjo. And I think his brothers say he practices diligently, sometimes for hours at a time. Is that right, Michael? And sometimes the brothers want to say, you practice enough, Michael, but they never say it, do they? They say, go for it, fella, go for it. And we chase down strings and what? Tapes and Bill got him a tape, didn't you? Did you find the Jed Clampett? One day he's going to come and play the Ballad of Jed Clampett. You may be ready now, right? But say all that about Michael to say that all the parts, sometimes they quit functioning as they ought to. But Paul uses the physical body to illustrate how the church, the body of Christ, being a local church, I think he was talking about the Corinthian church, but it's the church, the larger church, or we refer to it as the church universal. He uses
the physical body, that we could all, everybody could look at their neighbor or themselves and say, okay, I know what he's talking about. And it's illustrating how the body of Christ should function and is intended to function. And if a part didn't function, the body, something was missing, something was lacking. I find many people, just not too long ago, somebody said that they didn't like organized religion. But what do they like? Disorganized religion? And there's a lot of disorganized religion. Even going under the name of Christianity, that's kind of disorganized. And some people, I know some people don't like a order of worship. Some say, well, we just lead as the, or we worship as the Spirit leads us. Well, who's going to get the direction from the Spirit? Is that the preacher only? If somebody out in the congregation says, preacher, I want to preach today. Or the Spirit tells us to go home before you preach. Or the Spirit tells us not to take an offering. Well, you know, when we're following as only the Spirit leads us, the Spirit has told us how to worship. It was recorded in the Bible, and we have kind of examples to follow. So if, you know, the Quakers do, though, they go and sit and wait for the Spirit to move somebody. And if the Spirit doesn't move anybody, they get up and go home. Now, who's ever been to a Quaker service? Okay, we had one president not too long ago who was a Quaker. We learned a little bit about him. But I'm convinced that it's very seldom, I don't know this to be a fact, but it's a guess, that they very seldom did they ever go to church and sit there all day and not have somebody that would speak. Somebody would feel that that the Lord was speaking to them. And I think that they're right. I think they're right. But there may be some days that the Lord says, be still and know I'm God. The other days he may say, keep your mouth shut. We can talk about, we don't like organized religion or an organized church, but we could have mass confusion, even sometimes within the organized church, we get mass confusion. We wonder, why do we have a confession of faith? To kind of put in one little booklet that we could hold and use and kind of give some direction to the worship. The Bible teaches that the church of Jesus Christ is organized. And Paul really illustrates it. Peter illustrates it. Both of them. Jesus didn't do much to organize the church, but he left those who would follow him. The passage we have chosen for today show one aspect of how the church is to be organized. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, and in 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, both speak of a building. Paul, in one place, spoke of a body illustration, but then they started talking of a building. And I'm convinced that people could look around that they were talking to or writing to, if they read the letter, and they could say, oh yeah, there's the building. We know what he's talking about. And each aspect of the building has an important role to play in that building. Something that the people could understand and we can understand. You know, the support beams, the lights, the ceiling. Now, why is the pulpit here? Some preachers are coming out from behind the pulpit and marching back and forth in front of the congregation. And I'm for them, but I feel more comfortable back here. We can look around and see the building like the writers are writing about. The way, we can't see the stone in here, but when we go outside, we can see how a stone or a brick building is constructed, and they illustrate how the church functions. One portion holds up the other portion of the building, etc., and etc. These passages are especially appropriate, or it may be a little different, but I think they're appropriate as we think about the leaders of a local church and the congregation's relationship to their leaders and all of our relationship to Jesus.
in the body all do not have the same function. But every part of the body is necessary to the operation or the proper function of the body. Now somebody, I keep thinking about the appendix. Somebody has decided or determined that we can live without one. And I don't understand why we still have one. But God has not chosen yet to leave that out of a body. And some people I've heard they lost a spleen or they lost a limb or a portion of the limb. But for the total body, there was a reason for all of it. In the building, all are necessary to make up the body. In the body, all parts are necessary. In the building, all are necessary. In Ephesians, we read about the people being the temple of God, the dwelling of God by His Spirit. So, the people, you, one's not a foundation stone, that's Jesus. But you may be the first layer of building material. Or you may be the roof of the building. The overarching responsible for all. We have Christian education people. We have ushers. We have musicians, instrumentalists, and singers. We have worship leaders. We have scripture readers. We have candle lighters. We have offering taker uppers. Receivers is a better word. And every person is important in the body. Just like every person, every part of the building is important. Peter writes of the members being chosen by God, precious to Him, living stones in His spiritual house. Then he talks about priesthood and us offering sacrifices in the church. There's Jesus. Without Him, forget it. Don't want to be a part of it. Then there is the elders and the preacher. Together, make up the session. Time has run short. Too many illustrations, maybe, that maybe didn't see it. But take this home and look at it. Then there are the members of the church. And I think this is especially appropriate as we think of building or adding to the kingdom of God. Who does this? Who does that? We're going to continue to challenge people to reach out to bring people to church or to witness. But everybody doesn't have that gift. But we can function outside of our particular gift when we have to. So we even encourage that. But especially do we encourage those who have that gift of reaching out. And I think you know who you are. Some may have not experienced that gift. But the different aspects, the elders as a session, basically set policy and give direction to the church. Pray for the church. Give oversight to the workings of the church. But without the members, they don't have a job. They don't have a job. Every person in the church is important. And every person is needed. Is Jade here this morning? She'll be at the next service, maybe. The cleaning person was here as we were working last night. And the kitchen was full of people. And finally, the people in the kitchen said, it won't do any good to mop this floor with all of us in here. So after it was over, Jade mopped the kitchen. Maybe somebody helped her. Where did that Shuler girl? Where is she? Back here. She helped Susan carry stuff upstairs. All of y'all were so important. Somebody else. Nikki was on stage emceeing. I said she was in, y'all know what hog heaven means? She She was in her element last night. She was enjoying that so much. And others were doing this. Some were taking up money. Some were serving food. And it was all of them working together. Children, teenagers, y'all are not children anymore. Y'all, that was the church working together last night, the young part of it, and some adult assistance. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to be the church. In Jesus' name, amen. 333. 333. Please stand. First verse. Please take this and review it and read it. We got new copies for you. God, as the song suggests, have your way with us. Lord, have your way in my life. And I pray that we would all be able to say, Lord, in your church, in your organized work here on this earth, have your way. Show us your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Blessings on you.
Yeah, I knew that.